And as our theme says, thankful for the past, rejoicing in the present, and preparing for the future. But you know the thing about the present is, it's like you hear preachers, people say at funerals a lot of time, you know, about the date and the dash and the date. The past is gone. It says 1887. And today's 2017. We don't know how long before the Lord comes. But you know, it's that little space of time, the present. And when we say the present, what are we talking about? This moment, this second, this day, this period of time in which we live? But whatever time we put in there, it's only that time that you and I have an opportunity to do something for God. And I'm to speak on prayer and East End's future. I'm going to use the title, Our Concern, Prayers and the Future of East End Baptist Church. And basically, in case I'm not clear, I'm trying to say the future of East End Baptist is dependent upon our concern and our prayers. And of course, prayers is one of those things, your concern and prayer, it's not an isolated thing, it's not an abstract thing. It all got to be tied in with everything you do and know in your Christian life. Because you can pray all you want, but if your life does not match up to your praying, it's sort of wasted time. Our concern, our prayers, and East End's future. I'm going to be coming from James chapter 5. James chapter 5. You know, I believe for myself, probably Pastor Allen just as well, I would think. You know, I'm beginning to think of myself more and more as the elder. You know, South is a little different from here. They play up military, they play up seniors and things like that. And you hardly go into a restaurant or something and, oh, seniors discount. I like that. And you know, it's they don't even have to ask, are you a senior? I guess they just... I remember the first time that happened to me, I think it was in a McDonald's here in Pennsylvania or something, and I thought the young lady had made a mistake on the price. And I said, oh, you sure about the price? She said, oh, yeah, I give you the senior's discount. Oh. So I feel I'm coming to you as the elder. And, of course, you know what John, as an elder, said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I can tell you the truth, you know, hearing about East End from time to time, nothing brings greater pleasure to my heart than to hear how things are going at East End and to hear that it's going well. You know, when we were in the pulpit committee, one thing I told the pulpit committee after they had selected Pastor Prophet, and having reviewed his resume and everything, I told them, I believe you got a man that is going to take you to the next level. And he's taking you to the different levels. And just to hear what's happening here, to hear how things are going, and you know, you're working together and things like that, it's a joy to my heart. Because you know, we live in a time when the church is growing like crazy. You're getting so many mega churches, but you know, if you're looking at the religious world, you know, we're getting more and more mega churches. The church is getting more and more social and governmental influence, but the church is losing ground so fast among the people. Isn't that something? We are growing on the one hand, and we're digressing on the other. And so when we come to the topic that we're looking at this moment, prayer for the church, prayer for East End, I just trust that we take it from the Bible standpoint, the Bible position, because, you know, we love to pray. We ought to pray. The Lord begs us to pray, in a sense. But you know, he also commands us to pray. But why? We need it. We need it. And if East End needs any one thing, it needs the prayer of its people, need the prayer. And if you hear, whether you're a member of East End or not, East End need your prayers. Every church need your prayers. Every pastor need your prayers. But James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to light passions, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth. No, we start at verse 16. You know, I was sort of avoiding that confess your fault. But 16. Confess your faults one to another. And folks, why does it start confess your fault one to another? You know, when it comes, we love the term blessing. We love the term praying and things like that. But do you know every one of these carries a condition? It has a condition. And on this, the Bible says, you know, we love to use this one about the prayer, the fervent prayer, but there's a condition there. And, of course, this one starts out with your fault. And if you look out every place in the Bible where it says, blessed is he, you'll find a condition with it. And when the Bible calls upon us about effectual praying, you're going to find also there's a condition. And oftentimes we love the result, but we don't oftentimes pay attention to the condition attached to the premise. But we're told here, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject unto like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. And 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And that's what we want from our praying. We want a produce. We want a product. We want God to hear and to answer. God often uses the prayers of those who pray to accomplish the things they are praying for. God often uses the prayers of those who pray to accomplish the things they're praying for. I've heard someone say, now we celebrate a good past, but we will work for a better future. This is our desire for East End Baptist. East End's future starts today. It starts now. This service is a very good place and time to decide, if you haven't already, what part will I have in East End's future? East End's future will depend on how well each of us embraces the task of taking her forward. The task, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:2 and 3:19, is to pass to the next generation the things which we have learned and has been assured of, in order that they may be able to teach other faithful saints also. We want to see East End. We want to see the church move on. Pastor Prophet prayed earlier, till Jesus comes. We don't know when that is. It could be today. Maybe we don't have to labor too long. But yet, we don't know. There might be another 130 years, Brother Prophet. Somebody will stand here and do what you're doing today, celebrating another 130 years. But the task that is laid before us, none of us are sufficient for such a task, but we have a high priest who is ready, able, and willing to help us fulfill our commission. His help is only a prayer away. Abraham's servant Eleazar prayed to God, and God led him. That same God will lead and enable us to accomplish our mission also. Having a servant's heart is required and is the only way we'll get the job done. that we believe that God has called us to do. I've chosen three New Testament, there are many, many, but I've chosen three New Testament example of those God has used who might not have been servants as occupations, because when we think of servants, we tend to think of people doing menial work, regular labor. And these people, they might not have been that kind of people, but they sure had a servant's heart. And I believe that as we read these three stories, we'll see that each of these people, they were definitely had the attitude, the heart of a servant. And we're going to look at the crying or the nagging mother in Matthew 15, the importune or the persistent friend in Luke 11, and the annoying or troublesome widow in Luke 16. So go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Starting at verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21. And listen at these three stories and see if all three of them are not see themselves, or they at least act like servants. Matthew 15, starting at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Crying, nagging mother. Who else? If there's anyone that would cry and nag for a kid until an answer comes, it's a mother. But look with me in Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And we'll read to verse 10. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you, having a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise to give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Importunity, persistency. I will not to quit. But one thing I want you to take note of in this passage also is ask, seek, and knock. All three words basically has the same meaning or intention, and that is to ask. And that is basically what prayer is. Prayer is asking. We give thanks, we praise, but prayer, look at any prayer, prayer is asking. Or even the Old English, you would come across the word prayer many times in Old English, and the term might be, I pray you this, I pray you that. In other words, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, and in that sense. But let's look at the final, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said it within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, she annoys me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Three people, three different stories, but yet pretty much a common ground. And first of all, we want to look at these three to see that what they had in common, maybe we could say on the negative side. And on the negative side, we could say that all three were beggars. Beggars. You know, sometimes you're around town and someone comes to say something to you or stand near you and you say to yourself, he's going to ask for something. He's going to beg. You know, beggar, that kind of beggar. All three were importune or persistent. They just would not quit. They know what they wanted. They know what they were going after. All three were annoying, like the unjust judge said, you know, don't bother me. But that didn't work either. And, you know, we could say all three of these people, they had no class. They had no pride about themselves, and they had no dignity. They all acted like they were just plain old nobodies. But then secondly, you know, there's a positive side to these three people. And on the positive side, all three had class. All three had pride. All three had dignity. They were all people of character and pride. They were all in a better position than those they were seeking help for. And all three did what they did on purpose, for a higher cause than themselves. They did what they did for somebody else. And you know, if the world need any one thing today, the world need people that would stand up for people that cannot stand for themselves. The world need people that would do for people that can't do for themselves. The world need people that will pray for people that cannot, will not, don't know how to pray for themselves. But also these three people had a blend of love. They really cared. Personal responsibility. And when I say personal responsibility here, I'm talking about the fact that they made other people's problem, theirs. They sort of took it as my personal responsibility to help this person, to help the situation. And then passion. Passion. They felt that they must do something about what they are experiencing. Must do something. We could say all three of these, well, not we could say, they were, all three were intercessors. Intercessors, the Bible talks about prayer. One of the prayers the Bible tells us we ought to pray is the prayer of an intercessor, intercessory prayer. Praying on behalf of someone else. And you know, when you're doing an intercessory prayer, while there is feeling, there is concern, and all of that, and normally it takes that in order to intercess for somebody else. But the thing about intercessory prayer, different from, I would say, other praying, other form of praying, is that we could say we love somebody, but if you're going to be a true intercessor, you're going to have to get involved. And that love now becomes charity. You can love a person all you want, but until you do something with that love is not charitable. Our sympathy, we can sympathize all we want, but until we get involved and that sympathy becomes empathy, it's empty. It's somewhat like James says, you say you have faith, and you tell somebody, go and be well and God bless you. James says, what good is that? And so intercessory. I remember doing a study maybe a few years back, because I did it here, and coming across this word intercessory, and to one of the definition or comment about it was that an intercessor is a person somewhat like, I don't remember what Old Testament book it was, but you know, the Bible says that he was looking for somebody to stand in the gap between him and the people. And that's what an intercessor is. An intercessor intercepts. He gets between, since we're talking Bible in this fashion, he gets between God and somebody else. You know, it's just like a lot of parents, and many times parents more than other people, you know, you have lost kids, you pray, you stand between that kid and God, because you know that if my kid does not get saved, my kid is going to die and go to hell. So what do? We pray and we pray and we beg and we beg. And of course, when you hear talk about family and prayer, one of the things you hear many, many times is how the prayer of a parent may be answered long time after they're dead and gone. But the thing is, while they were alive, while they were in this present time, they prayed. And friends, that's what East End needs from us. And of course, we are part of this local body, but then the church in general needs our prayer. And we need to pray for the church out of deep earnestness, just like we're told by James there with Elijah and those. E.M. Bounds, he's one of the old-time greats, preachers, the old days, 1900s. And Bounds said, in true prayer, our bodies, our person, our being, remember the Lord said he wanted us to serve him with our entire being. Well, Bounds said, in true prayer, you know, he was sort of, I guess, making a distinction, but just what we call prayer and what is real praying. He says that our bodies, our person, naturally assumes the position of prayer. Is there a position of prayer, a particular? Well, I don't know that we really can say that, but as we read our Bibles, we find two especially, maybe three, kneeling, prostrate, are, you know, standing, looking to heaven. But his point was, when you're really praying, your body gets into it with you. Your body gets into it. You know, most of us, we're taught young to pray. And while today we might have a lot of reasons why we don't do it, you know, I find a lot of time myself, I'm in bed and I'm praying in bed. But, you know, all of my life I was taught to kneel. You know, and so to pray, it was just an automatic thing. If I'm going to pray, especially in private, kneel down and pray. Get up in the morning, first thing, slide to the bed on the knee. Get up in the morning, going to bed, knee, slide in bed. And the body automatically assumes the position. The point he was getting across there about when your heart is into what you're doing, your body sort of flows with it, your mind, everything sort of flows with it. And this is what Jesus was talking about, that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, your whole being. You cannot serve God with parts of yourself. You got to give him all. And normally, if you don't give him all, you really don't give him any. You got to give him all. But thirdly, if we believe that East End Baptist is a part of God's plan and his cause, then we too must take her to heart and seek God's help and blessing for her through prayer. And why through prayer? Because we all know, we must know and acknowledge the fact that in ourselves we cannot secure her future. None of us, no matter how we think or feel about East End and the church, none of us can secure the future of the church. But guess what? God can. So we should pray to God. We should ask God for help. Jesus told us in John 5:15, "For without me you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Zip." And, of course, he gave us the illustration of the branches and the sheep. And, of course, if you cut a branch from the vine, you put a sheep out by itself, what happens? They both wither and die. Have to have that help. And, of course, when it comes to you and I, if we want to do something for God, for the church, we got to talk to the one person who can help us to do it. Our help come through prayer, and pray you, Jesus tell us in Luke 10:2, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pastor Prophet laid out to us earlier the great need for salvation, the great need of evangelism. But then the Bible tell us that this world is his field, it's his harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And, of course, Jesus backs up what he said by saying in John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Prayer. But the whole point, we got to do the asking. James 5:16, our text tells us that effectual, fervent prayer of God's people work. And that's what the word effectual is all about. The word effectual is simply saying when you pray right, it works. When you pray right, it works. A prayer born out of a heart of compassion. When we talk about compassion, you cannot separate compassion from passion. Because normally, if you're not passionate about something, you're not hardly going to be compassionate. You got to have a burning. You got to have a deep interest. You're going to have a deep concern, and that is passion. And normally, when a person doesn't have passion, they don't have compassion. You know, compassion come out of passion, a burning heart. It works. The effectual prayer, the prayer that works, that is. Why does it work? Because the condition of the heart that offers it, the condition of the heart that prays. When we think of an effectual, fervent prayer, when we think of the word fervent, we think more so of loudness and longness. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the heart. You see, that's where God is looking. God is looking on the heart. And folks, listen, we're on a time segment. And my time is about gone. But, you know, talking about the future, I'd like to end with this one thing. And that is, how bright is the future of East End? How bright is the future of the church in general? Well, we have to look out to see what we have. What do we have in the dugout, as sports people would say? At house, you might say, well, what do we have in the pantry to work with? And again, to quote E.M. Bounds about the future of the church, he says, but let us look about us. Let us look at another large crowd about us, an important class of people in our churches. And it applies 100% to us right here today, to every church, all the time. But he says there's a large class of people that we need to look at. They are the hope of the future. To them, all eyes are turned. Are our young men and young women growing in sober-mindedness and reverence and in all those graces which have their root in the renewed heart, which mark solid and permanent advance in the divine life? If we are not growing in holiness, young people, then we are doing nothing religious, are abiding. You know, as I look in our group here today, I would think two-thirds to three-quarters of our congregation at this moment are under 50. AARP starts at 50. We'll cut this at 50. But Bounds says we need to look at our young people. And young folks, listen, you know, we can pray for you. And trust we will. But you are. No ifs, ands, and buts, you are the future of the church. If you do not take your faith seriously, young people, and I see a lot of young folks out here, I think is under 50. I could go higher because there's no cutoff, really. But we're talking future here, and we need a little bit of time in there, a little longevity. You need to look, we look at your life, and this is what Bounds challenges the church in general to do. Look at your young people. Where do your young people stand? But young folks, you need to look at yourself. Where is God in your life? You are the future of the church. Can God depend on you? Can the church depend on you? Can you depend on you? Pastor Allen is here once upon a time. I'm here once upon a time. Pastor Prophet is here. But the ball is in our court today. The ball is going to your court. And you got to be ready to take it and run with it. And I just trust God, young folks, that you'll do it. Prepare yourself. I mean, you know what Paul told Timothy? To pass the word to faithful men who can take it and teach others also. That's you. And if you don't, what's going to happen? If prayer is the heart of Christian service, the giving of ourselves to God to fulfill our prayers is the bloodline that supplies vital energy to every part to keep it healthy and functioning. To all of us, and I don't know if it's good to say especially to you young folks, may God help each of us to hope, to trust, to watch, to pray, and labor for East End until the Master comes. As I mentioned before, in 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says to continue in the things which you have heard and which have been taught and assured of. And, you know, let's do that. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about as I was thinking about myself as a senior, the elder, was, you know, John told the church there in one of the epistles that he has no greater desire to hear. Folks, keep on keeping on. John also said, I got nothing new to tell you. One thing I thought about was, would Pastor Allen having taught here for 34 years and Pastor Prophet being here now, I know there's nothing new I can tell this group of people today. But one thing I do want to encourage you to do is keep on keeping on. And in Hebrews 10:25, there the writer says, do it more and more as you see the day approaching. Amen. God bless you in East End. Happy 1:30.
Why is a church here? Why do we exist? To evangelize and to edify. How can we be edified? Prayer is so vital. And we need this challenge. Will we be here next year, 10 years from now, or 130 years from now if Jesus tarries? If we're faithful to his word, faithful to prayer. This is so vital. We need to pray. So I appreciate that challenge. And young people, what a prayer request. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Let's pray together. Our Father, challenge our hearts to pray. Make us faithful. We thank you for the foundation that is laid here at East End Baptist Church over all these years. Lord, I just wonder at all the prayer meetings that took place here. And we praise you for those prayer warriors. I think of all the lessons that were taught in Sunday school, all the sermons that were preached from this pulpit. And thank you, Lord, for these faithful pastors who have served here and for Pastor Small and Pastor Allen. But Lord, I pray that you will raise up more laborers for the harvest field right here from the people that are present today. I pray for retirees. I pray for youth. I pray for young couples who will say to the Lord Jesus, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Give us a burden to pray. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's not yet prayed very simply to you, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, save me," I pray that today they would do so. In Jesus' name, amen.